SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
New research shows Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children suffer some of the highest rates of middle ear infections in the world. Clinical data from Hearing Australia has revealed the disease is going undetected among 26% of First Nations children, while one in five live with undiagnosed hearing loss. Hearing Australia's Kiralee Cross said more needs to be done to raise community awareness of the issue and has encouraged parents to get regular ear checks for their children. Green Senator Dorinda Cox says she wants the government to move faster on Indigenous truth-telling as her party prepares to push legislation to establish a commission. The Albanese government has set aside funding to establish a Makarrata Commission, which would examine historic and ongoing injustices against First Nations people and make recommendations to Parliament. Minister for Indigenous Affairs Linda Burney says the government wants to take the time to get this right. But Ms Cox says a year after the Voice to Parliament campaign, it's now time to move on to what she called the next chapter.
Every Senate estimates we ask a question, what is happening with Makarrata? What is happening to progress on truth and treaty in this country? And we get the same answer. We are consulting. Now, in states and territories across the country, there are state-based formal processes starting, but we can learn from that. This requires federal leadership.
Advocates are speaking out about a practice in the business world known as black cladding. The practice happens when a non-Indigenous business appoints First Nations owners or directors to create a company which qualifies as Indigenous for the purpose of winning government contracts. That can leave Indigenous company directors with huge tax bills if the company collapses and they are held liable. Coolan Briggs, a Yorta Yorta man and an electrician, told NITV's Living Black this happened to him after he was asked to become director of the Indigenous section of an electrical contracting company.
The debts totaled just a little bit under $730,000. So when I saw that, it had felt like I was just in a deep dark hole.
The federal government is reviewing its First Nations procurement program and is expected to raise the minimum ownership standard for Indigenous businesses to at least 51%. Researchers have identified evidence of First Nations rituals dating back 500 generations, uncovering insights into the heritage of one of the world's oldest living cultures. The findings have been made through a partnership between the Gunai Kurnai Land and Waters Aboriginal Corporation and Monash University. The archaeological excavations revealed evidence of the ritual practice of the Mula Mulang or Indigenous healers, which dates back to 12,000 years ago. Elder Uncle Russell Mullett says the findings, which represent cultural knowledge passed down through 500 generations, are remarkable.
It's very, very exciting, extraordinary. It's a time capsule that's preserved things so well. Everything that's come out of the small excavations that have been placed has produced information that's just opened the door to a broader understanding of the cultural use of place.
Former Labor and now Independent Senator Fatima Payman insists her decision to leave the party was not premeditated. The West Australian Senator announced on Thursday she will now sit on the crossbench following an indefinite suspension over her support for a Greens motion to recognise Palestinian statehood. The Prime Minister claimed in Parliament on Wednesday Senator Payman had had a strategy for leaving the party in place for more than a month. In an interview with SBS World News, Senator Payman dismissed those claims as false. She said attempts to pressure her to follow the party line, including from the Prime Minister, did not amount to bullying, but said senior members' reactions to her crossing the floor had left her with no choice.
it definitely made me feel like I didn't belong, made me feel like there was no return for me in the Labor Party, even though everyone claimed that the doors open and I should just come back to the tent. This was a red line that I had to draw, and, you know, if we can't be true to our party platform, then what are we really here for?
In question time on Thursday, Mr. Albanese denied he had used intimidating or aggressive language in his meeting with the senator, saying she had messaged him to inform him of her resignation and thanking him for his leadership. Students from the University of Sydney say they are concerned by university policies limiting their right to protest. The changes to the university protest policy came shortly after the shutdown of a student encampment protesting Israel's military assault on Gaza, as well as the university's ties to defence companies linked to Israel. Students must now give at least 3 days' notice before engaging in protests that includes the use of booths, stalls, megaphones, or affixing posters or banners to campus buildings. University of Sydney Student Representative Council President Harrison Brennan condemns the measures, saying campuses must be places where the democratic right to protest can be exercised. New research shows that after 2012, coinciding with the rise of global social media platforms, young Australians began reporting a significant drop in mental well-being. Between 2011 and 2022, mental health scores for young women aged 15 to 24 fell from 73% to 62%, and for young men from 74.5% to 67.5%. These findings come from an analysis by the E61 Institute based on the Household Income Labour Dynamics in Australia survey, which tracks the lives of over 17,000 Australians annually. Self-reported youth mental health levels were stable until about a decade ago, when they began to decline sharply. An international team of Australian and Indonesian archaeologists have discovered the oldest example of figurative cave art in the world. The paintings found on the Indonesian island of Sulawesi, the paintings are believed to be 51,200 years old, 6,000 years older than previous record holder. The images, which depict a wild pig and three human animal hybrids, are hard to date, requiring laser to accurately identify when calcium layers started to form on top of them. Adam Brum, Professor of Archaeology at Griffith University, says he hopes the technology can pave the way for new discoveries in Australia.
We have these little, what are known as coralloid speleothems, or commonly known as cave popcorn. They're these hard, nodular, wart-like growths that look a little bit like nodules of popcorn that form on the walls and the ceilings inside some limestone caves over time. And they're comprised of tiny little layers of calcium carbonate. And we can date when those layers of calcium carbonate started to form using a method known as uranium series dating.
Torres Strait Islander sculptor Toby Cedar says the experience of being involved in the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair has been inspiring. The four-day event wrapped up on Sunday, with 30,000 visitors travelling to the region for the event. The 15th edition of the event celebrates First Nations art and fashion, with a focus on remembering the past and listening to country. Mr. Cedar says sharing story through art is important to keep culture alive for his sons and future generations.
It's not only for me, it's for them as well. And the importance of that is that they are strong within themselves on who they are. What I know, and it's passed down from elders, passed down to me, I pass on to you. Because without our elders, they're our knowledge, they're our book. Also, networking around here with other artists, it's inspiring.
And last week, a First Nations father and son hip-hop duo from Western Australia have appeared on one of the world's biggest talent shows. Fluent and Inkabee's pacey performance on America's Got Talent got the crowd dancing and impressed the judges. The Noongar Whangai duo is well known on the Australian rap scene for their music and activism, but it was their first time appearing on the international stage. 11-year-old Inkabee was just 7 when he wrote his first rap song, with his performance catching the attention of the judges. The pair received a standing ovation and a yes vote from all 4 judges, which will see them through to the next round and the chance to win $1 million. Judge Simon Cowell has praised the artists.
I think we have just seen what I call a moment.
just the way you performed together. It was mesmerizing.
Thank you.
And I think you are going to be the face of so many things because you're so cool.
And that is NITV Radio's news wrap of the week.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.